Some years ago, I was in a meeting at another state, and Brother James Lockhart and I were preaching together. Amen. On Monday night, we both preached, and we preached Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. And the pastor kept saying to his people, he said, "Now, if you miss any services, please don't miss Thursday and Friday night." He said the big guns are coming in Thursday and Friday night. And he just kept repeating that. And so we stayed through Wednesday, and I was supposed to be in another meeting. I said, "Well, I believe I'll stay over another day to hear the big guns." And so on Thursday, a little after noontime, the pastor called me and said, "Do you think you might could preach again tonight?" I said, "If that's what the Lord's will is, I'd be glad to do that." He said, "Those boys that was coming in from North Carolina, the big guns, they missed their plane." And I want to say to you, God doesn't have any big guns. We're all on the A team, amen. He doesn't have a B team, amen. And so we are what we are by the grace of our God, amen. I appreciate the privilege of being in the service with Brother Miss Hall, and I'm grateful for their faithfulness through the years and how God has used him. I chat with him a little bit between Sunday school and this service, and I was reminded that God sometimes does not allow us to see everything that he's doing. But God, as Bob Jones Sr. would say, God is preparing us today for what he has prepared for us tomorrow. And so I am grateful for that. One of the most sobering thoughts in my mind is to realize this. One day, I'm going to give an account to God for my life and ministry. And by the way, when I stand there, God's not going to call another preacher up to find out what they think about me. He is a righteous judge, and his judgment will be right. But the sobering thought is this. Not only am I going to give an account of what I did do, I'm going to give an account of what I could have done. If Don Jackson, and by the way, he was a dear, dear friend of mine, if he made that statement, and I'm sure he did, listen, we get in trouble if we don't listen to God. But I appreciate that statement. Listen, in this services, God has spoken to my heart again and again. I was reading this book this morning, and God spoke to my heart in a very definite way and just burnt a little thought in my, that's the way he does it. He just takes the word of God, applies it to the heart of man, and burns that in there. And so you got something to say when you stand up. And so I've got this little thought. If you'll turn with me to John's Gospel chapter 2, the second chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter number 2. And it's a privilege and an honor to be here. I praise God for Pastor Shepherd and for his leadership, and then all these missionaries that's been here this week. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. Thank you for your yieldingness to God's will for your life. And it's our prayer that God will use you mightily and that many souls would be saved for the glory of the Lord Jesus. In John's Gospel chapter 2, you're familiar with the passage, but I'm going to read it again. And could I say, I believe those familiar texts ought to become more familiar with us. And so if you'd like to stand out of respect for the word of God, I'll read the first 11 verses of John's Gospel chapter number 2. By the way, the Bible said in Acts chapter 11 verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And a Christian is one who believes in Christ. A Christian is one who belongs to Christ. A Christian is one who ought to behave like Christ. Amen. A Christian is one who's being conformed to the image of Christ. Amen. I want to be like him, don't you?
Yes, sir.
John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stones after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, speaking to the servants, saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled him up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw it now and bear it to the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast saith unto the, calleth the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Would you pray with us? Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, your word to our heart. We thank you for this privilege of being able to stand here today. And Lord, we know that we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but that our sufficiency is of thee. I pray this will be profitable time. Dear Lord, help us not only to listen, to hear today, but help us to heed the word of God. Do what I cannot do. Thank you for all you will do. In Jesus' dear name I pray. Amen and amen. You may take your seats. Now, the golden rule, spiritually speaking, to be happy and useful in as a Christian is not only to listen to God, but to do what God said do. And so I want to preach this simple little thought on this. Doing what he says. And by the way, if you do not do what he says, you cannot be saved. Amen. And if you do not do what he says, aren't you glad that Brother Hall did what God told him to do? Aren't you glad that Pastor Shepherd did what God wanted him to do and come here as a pastor? And so these are simple little thoughts. If we want to have joy, peace, and blessings upon our life and service for Christ, we must be doers of the word of God. And so if we want to be well-pleasing to him in all things, then we must do what he says. If we want our prayers answered, then we must do what he said. If we want guidance for our life, we must do what he said. Then we must do exactly what he said. Amen. And so in your faith promise commitment, if everybody has done what he said, are y'all listening?
Yeah.
If everybody has done what he said, it will affect those missionaries that are seeking to do in their life and ministry what he said. And so it's a matter. And God will lead you to, as a church collectively, to maybe take on some new missionary or to increase the support of those you now support. But it's a matter of doing what he says. It's a matter of being obedient and what he says. And so if we live in obedience to the Lord, this rule shall always be filled, doing what it says, and with the glory of his presence and the glory of his power and the glory of his blessings. In John chapter 15, notice with me, John 15, and read with me verse 14. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. It is so important. Now, with that in mind, whatsoever he saith unto you, however contrary it might seem, to your ideas, we're still to do that. Amen.
Right.
So does God ask me to do some things that I don't want to do? Yes.
Sure.
But God gives them the enablement to do it. And so because of who he is, and by the way, he is the Son of God. I remind you that he's not only the messenger, he is the message. And so what's he doing? He's doing the Father's will. I've come to do thy will, O God. Now, so there's something personal about it. God speaks to me personally. He might not have spoken to your heart, but he speaks to my heart. And what God says to you might be different than what he says to me, but I'm responsible to do what God tells me to do. And you're responsible for doing what God has told you to do. Now, we come to thought, we consider the fact of the ways that God speaks to us and God speaks today.
Yes, he does.
But if we're not listening, you see, there's, I'm having a problem with hearing. My wife thinks I'm deaf. I'm not sure. But she said I have to repeat everything. But I still can't hear. But sometimes we're selective in what we hear. Sometimes she's talking and I don't hear on purpose. and sometimes I'm talking and she's not listening. Amen. But how many times has God been talking and we hadn't listened? Somebody said, well, I didn't get anything out of the service. Well, you've got to have something to get it in if you get something. Amen. But you got to listen to God. And so God does speak to us today. I was pastoring in Tallahassee, Florida, and a lady came to me after the service, and she said, preacher, you scare me to death. I said, what in the world? She said, and she looked like she needed a shot of murine in her eyes, but she said, you talk about God speaking to you, God talking to you. She said, God never says anything to me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that God doesn't say something. It's the fact that we're not listening. Amen. I am convinced, are you listening? I am convinced of this, that if we were listening to God and had a response to what God tells us to do, there'd be more at the altar. And we'd be more effective in our witness. But it's got to listen to the Lord. It's got to listen to him. It was Samuel that heard a voice, and it wasn't clear to him, so he thinks Eli is speaking to him. And it's not Eli speaking to him. It's God speaking to him. And so Eli, after the third time, he said, now, if you hear the voice again, right, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'm listening to God. And so God will tell me what he wants me to give. God will tell me where he wants me to go. God will tell me how he wants me to behave.
Right. Amen.
God will show me how to respond.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And so I'm talking about that God does speak to us just as he spoke to the servants in this chapter in John chapter 2. Mary said to those servants, we don't know how many servants they were, but we know there was at least two. We don't know their names. But we do know that Mary said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto, don't be bothered about what God said to somebody else. Whatsoever God saith, whatsoever he saith unto you, pray about it. No, I didn't say pray about it. I'm pretty sure these fellows was not independent temperamental Baptists because of faith. If God spoke to them, they said, well, we'll bring it up at next prayer meeting or business meeting. We'll certainly pray about it. But no, he said, she said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it.
Amen.
You don't argue about it. You just do it.
Right.
And by the way, if you do what God said do, there's joy and blessings that comes because of our obedience. Now notice with me, God the Holy Ghost will never ever lead you to do anything that's contrary to God's holy word. And there's folks that leave churches and said, well, God told me so. But no, no, they'll end up down the road in a liberal church that doesn't believe anything. God's not in 1,000 miles of that. God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't lead that way. But God does speak. And so how does he speak? The Bible said in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I'm reminded of this. Notice this. Luke 6:46. Jesus said, why then do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say unto thee? Is that in your book the same way? He said, why is it that you, and by the way, they know the language, but they're not doing what he said. I believe that in one sense of the word, folks call him Lord and do not the things that he says to do because they've never had a change in their life. They've never been born again. There's others that call him Lord, Lord, and do not the things that he said that are so far out of fellowship with the Lord. But I'm saying to you, that's a serious matter. Why then do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say unto thee? What did he say? Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. It's not a mistake, it's a sin. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm not doing what God has said for me to do, then I'm sinning against the Lord. And I can never be an effective servant for the Lord until I get that dealt with. Amen. And so it's like folks that got offended. Hello?
Yeah.
They got offended because of what someone said or someone did. They became offended.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. What about the crowd that is the offender? They're the ones that's offended others. Jesus said it's impossible that offenses should come, but woe be unto them through whom they do come. And so, if the offenses has not been acknowledged and dealt with, there can be no forgiveness. And if there is no forgiveness, there cannot be any acceptable service. Y'all still in the building? So how does God speak to us? He speaks to us authoritatively. It's not a suggestion, it's the unadulterated, authoritative Word of God.
Amen.
My pastor said, God does not speak to us to tease us or tantalize us, but he speaks to us with purpose in mind. He's got something for me to do. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be in God's army? Aren't you glad to be a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
Amen.
And he reached way down and lifted us up out of the miry clay in that horrible pit and placed our feet upon a rock and established our going and put a new song in our mouth, even pray, and gave us something to do.
Right.
Amen. Amen. There's folks that are sitting on the sidelines waiting for God to say something, and God's been speaking with a loud voice for a long time. So how does he speak to us? He speaks to us authoritatively. If he is your Lord, then it is his sovereign right to dictate in your life and in my life. And so what he says, are you listening? What he says is the final word. You don't have to get a commentary. No, what he said is a final word.
That's right.
And so if we know him as our Lord, this matter of of our responsibility. There's no options and no alternatives. We are to do what he says. And so why do we question what he says? We're pretty good at picking parts of the Bible that we do. But we're going to be held accountable for the whole book, amen, for everything that he said. And God speaks to us authoritatively. And so what he says is invested with all the authority of who he is. And that he's Lord. And by the way, I thought I'd better mention this again. You can't make him Lord. He was Lord before you got saved. He's Lord after you got saved. Our responsibility is to submit to him. And so he speaks to us authoritatively. He speaks to us personally. Out of all, my pastor, Dr. Buffin, when we get up and preach, and it seemed like that he's preaching right to me. I'm talking about every service. He get up and preach, and I normally would sit over on this side, and so I got tired of him just preaching right to me, and so I said I think I'll move from over here to over there. And when I got to church the next time, he preached again right at me, and I say thank God for the man of God who'll preach and tell me what's wrong and tell me how to get it right. And that solemn responsibility lies in my court.
That's right.
And so he speaks to me personally. He spoke to those servants, and Mary did not know what he said.
Right.
He spoke to the servants, and the governor did not know what he said. But he spoke to the servants, and they knew what he said. I'm saying God, as a preacher of the Word of God, sometime God the Holy Ghost will let you see the stirring in the mulberry bushes. He help you see the fact of God's dealing in a heart. By the way, we're not God and we're not the Holy Spirit, but I'm telling you, we're delivering the Word of God, and the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, makes application to our heart and mind. So he speaks to us authoritatively. He speaks to us personally. And again, he spoke, as he spoke to them, he speaks to us. He speaks now, not in a verbal, audible voice, but he does speak to us. How many has God spoken to in this meeting? I say, bless his holy name for speaking to my heart to help me to be more like him. But he speaks to us comprehensively. Mary said to the servants, we don't know their names. We don't know how many there were. But she said to the servants, whatsoever. That's a broad subject, hallelujah. Whatsoever, hallelujah. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And so he speaks comprehensively. He speaks to us about the little details in your life. I went to, had to take my trash down to the county dump. And when I got there, there was a little black boy standing by the dumpster. And he said, "Mister, you can't put those boxes in here. They need to go over yonder." Made me mad. I just put all the boxes in there. Got in my truck and headed back home. Somebody got in the truck with me. And here's what it said, Brother Hall. He said, "How'd you like to go back and tell that little boy that Jesus loves him and died to save him?" I made a U-turn. I didn't even make it all the way to the house. I made a U-turn. I came back and that little boy was still standing there, and I said, "Sir, I owe you an apology. Would you please forgive me? I'd be glad to get in the dumpster and get the boxes out." And he said, "Oh, no, sir, that's all right." But I'm saying God speaks to me about putting the wrong box in the wrong place. Hasn't that God never speaks to others about things? I'm telling you, God does speak to our hearts.
Yes, he does.
And he speaks to us personally. Hallelujah to God. I'm saying, listen, little details. But he deals with us, speaks to us about the big problems of life. About the wine. And you understand that he did not turn the water into an intoxicating beverage. But he did. What are you listening to me? They didn't run short on water. They ran short on wine. And he said to those servants, fill the water pots with water. That's all he asked them to do. Was to fill the water pots with water. And then God moved in.
Amen.
Oh yes, he's already been instructing them. But God moves in and he does a inward, unseen work that transformed, are you listening? It transformed that water into wine, which is a symbol of joy. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. That's why when Nicodemus comes, he said, you must be born again. And the Lord Jesus did an inward work in his heart that transformed him to become a child of the King. That woman of Samaria comes down and he said, she's coming for a drink of water. And he said, if you knew who I was, you guys to me, I'd give you living water. She did. And he did. Hallelujah. And he gave her a drink of water and she never thirsted. But it's the inward. How did all that happen? Because of servants that were obedient to do.
Amen.
To do. I'm saying sometimes we get hung up and, excuse me, you'll know what I'm saying is the truth. Sometimes we get hung up on the fact of the little things of life and we think, well, that's so insignificant and that's so little. I'm going to tell you, if you're not willing to do the little things for God, I doubt seriously he'll ever give you anything else to do. It's a matter of doing. How are we doing on the do it department? And so, we've got a lot of people who knows what everybody else ought to do. And so I'm saying he speaks to us comprehensively. In fact, there's no detail connected with your life that he's not concerned about. And then he speaks to us instrumentally. That is, he speaks to us through others. Here's a fellow that maybe, and by the way, sometimes in meetings, there's folks that want to portray the idea that if a fellow has just been called to preach, or if maybe they're young in the ministry, they can't help anybody. But I'm going to tell you, dear friends, I don't care how long he's been preaching. If he's God's man and if he's doing what God told him to do, I'm going to sit out there and listen to it. And when God speaks to my heart, I purpose to do what he tells me to do.
Amen. That's
it's just a matter
right.
of good. Doing what God has told us to do. And so how often we hear the voice of the Lord through the wise and helpful counsel of our friends. While we must recognize the principle in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 to 16, Paul said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. But you understand, God took him to school. We must recognize that the Lord often guides us through the counsel of other Christians.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And then he speaks to us. He speaks to us providentially. That is this. He speaks to us through the daily happenings and circumstances of our life. He does it by sending a storm. And he closes one door and opens another. Let me say to you, be careful. Not every open door is a door opened by the Lord. I'm glad that God has not given me everything I asked for. One old boy stood up and said, I'm grateful God gives me everything I ask for. Sometimes it makes me wish I hadn't asked for it. God speaks to us. He speaks to us through circumstances. He speaks to us through what we read. I'm convinced that we don't have many readers today. This is a priority book right here. The Word of God. But I like to read good books that helps me. God speaks to us through what we read. God speaks to us through what we hear. And God speaks to us through what we see. But God does speak.
Amen.
He does speak to us. And so we'll not fail to hear His voice if we'll listen.
Amen.
He primarily speaks to us through His Word.
Right.
I'm grateful I have the King James Bible.
Amen.
The unadulterated Word of God. It's divine in origin, living in nature, powerful in operation, final in judgment, clear in its demands.
Amen.
And John 6:63 said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Yes, sir.
But your newspaper is not spirit and life.
Right.
Your novel is not spirit and life.
Right.
No, but this is spirit and life.
Amen.
Again, I'm saying I'm glad God speaks to us. Anything which we feel to be His voice, to which is contrary to the Word of God, certainly is not His voice. Now, I'm almost finished with the introduction.
Amen.
Notice this. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. When He has come, He will guide you into how much?
All
truth. He's not going to speak of Himself,
right,
but He's going to glorify the Son.
Right.
And so we see that He speaks to us through His Spirit. We see the book of Acts. There's a constant unerring direction that's given to the servants of the Lord by the Spirit of God. And can I say, if He did that back in the first century, He can still do it today.
Amen.
Amen. It's like the Spirit of God that lives in you. You know when you do something wrong.
Right.
You know when you say something wrong.
Right.
You know when you see something wrong.
Yeah.
You know when you do something wrong.
Yeah.
The pastor doesn't have to come and tap you on the back and say, that's sin. No, the Holy Ghost in here says that's sin.
Amen.
So He speaks to us these ways. I want to give you what I want to emphasize, and the message will be shorter than the introduction. When God speaks to our heart, and He does.
Yes, sir.
God speaks to our heart, and He does. If there's a young man or a young lady who responds to the appeal to trust Jesus as Savior, could I tell you that's not normal and that's not natural?
Uh-huh.
That's God the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And so if they move in that direction, you can rest assured God has already dealt in their heart.
Uh-huh.
Y'all in the building?
Yes, sir.
God dealt in my heart about my need personally.
That's right.
He drew me to Himself.
Amen.
But He did not save me against my will.
Right.
Our God is a gentleman.
Sure
He does not force Himself upon us, but He tenderly woos us to Himself.
Amen.
Now, when God speaks to our heart, and we respond to Him. Here's a message. When God speaks to our heart and we respond to Him, there's a threefold effect. When God speaks to our heart about anything and we respond in obedience to His voice, there will always be a threefold effect. Here it is. In John chapter 2, we consider the fact that all the Lord says to us has a threefold effect. First of all, could I say, when God speaks to my heart about anything, and I give obedience to the Lord, I do what He says do, He is glorified every time. Not sometime. Every time I do what He says for me to do, He receives glory. Now Paul said, whether you eat, whether you therefore eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
He manifested His glory in John chapter 2. When those servants did what God told them to do. Now, surely if these men had been fundamental, independent, temperamental Baptists, there would have been an argument to pursue, to determine which one put the most water in the pot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. But they're just simply, you said you pouring water in a pot to glorify God if God told you to do it.
That's right.
Amen. And so, I give my faith promise to the Lord. And by the way, it's what He gave me to give.
Amen.
He knows that if He knows He can trust you to give that monies to missions, He provides that.
Right.
And so doing what He said do,
right,
He is glorified.
Amen.
Whether you committed, I like that word, committed. If you have committed to give a dollar a week, if that's what God told you, He's glorified in the doing of it.
That's right.
If God told you to give $5 or $10 or $50 or $100 or $1,000, whatever, if God said, this is what I want you to do. And by the way, we don't broadcast that. I give more than I used to make in a week. But it's not me, it's the God in me. And what is that all about, Brother Brunson? It's just doing what God said. Oh, you said, that's so simple. I know it is. But those simple truths is what God burns in our soul. To recognize this, I'm going to give out a tract. We gave the man at the motel this morning a little booklet on hell, you don't want to go there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not doing it to be seen of men, but I'm doing that because He said, go ye therefore in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He's glorified.
Right.
How many times? Every time. When I do
That's right.
What God tells me to do. And so, listen, when the Lord Jesus said to those disciples who are 7 and 8, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. And He saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor the feast, and they bear it. He said, fill the water pots, draw out, bear to the governor. And so, when the Lord Jesus said to them, fill the water pots, draw out, bear to the governor, it was for His glory.
Right.
For God's glory. And by the way, when a sinner gets saved, it's for God's glory.
Right.
And could I say, y'all still in the building?
Yes.
I'm saying it tells us that, that we can be sure that whatever He speaks to us about and we're obedient to His will in our life, that's something I want to do and something He wants me to do.
Right.
If I'm doing what He said do, He might want me to be a missionary that goes around the world. If I'm doing what He said me to do, I might be just a faithful church member.
Amen.
Doing what He said do.
That's right.
And could I say, God, it takes both. The sender and the goer.
Right.
the one that's here. You're just important as the one that goes, because you're holding the ropes, you're praying, you're giving, and they're going. But we must not substitute the fact that we've got to go some here too, doing what he said. How are we doing in the do it department? It comes back to this. It's for the glory of God. In other words, to listen to what God says and to render him full obedience will always glorify him.
Amen.
God spoke to Saul back in Samuel, and he said, I want you to slay utterly all the inhabitants of the land. And Saul gave partial obedience.
Yeah.
And partial obedience is disobedience.
Right.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I don't want to say it and sound in the wrong sense or attitude, but ladies and gentlemen, you know and I know that we do much of what God tells us to do.
Come on.
But why not do all
Amen.
That God tells us to do?
That's good.
And so when our Lord Jesus Christ said to those servants, fill the water pot, draw out, bear to the governor, it was for the servant's good. Hallelujah to God. When you do what God said do, he's glorified.
Yes, sir.
Every time.
Yes, sir.
When you do what God tells you to do, you are blessed.
Yes, sir.
Every time. Hallelujah.
Yes,
praise God. Isn't it good to be a water boy for God? I'm saying, just carrying the water. And by the way, I remind you that God didn't ask them to do anything but to pour the water. And that's what he asked you to do. To pour in the water of the Word of God. And God breathes upon that. And God will wake that person up in the middle of the night and challenge in their soul. And when they get saved, God's glorified. And we're blessed every time. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. By doing what God said to you. Oh, yeah. And so he said, fill the water pot. In verse 9, he said, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. God's going to let you know. Others might not know. They might not get it. But I'll tell you one thing. You can't do anything for God, for his glory, without him allowing you to get in on the purpose.
Amen.
Doing what he said to.
Amen.
God is glorified every time. We are blessed every time.
Amen.
What a great spiritual blessing came to them when they heard the commandment of the Lord.
Yeah.
Back up with me to the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, and let's see if I can find the passage here. I got a Deuteronomy in my Bible. If I get over here where it's located, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse number. Let's see, I believe I'm looking at Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. Here's what the Bible said. Deuteronomy 6:24. He said, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And notice chapter 10 of the book of Deuteronomy, verse 12. The Bible said, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep his command, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good.
Amen.
For what? For thy good.
Yep.
So it's good for us to obey the Lord. Everything the Lord says to us is always for our good.
Amen.
It's for our good.
Yep.
And so therefore we should obey the Lord. I could give you a couple of other verses, but let me mention this, and I hasten to close. When the Lord Jesus Christ said to the servants, we don't know their name. We don't know how many there were. No, there was at least two. When the Lord Jesus said to those servants, fill the water pots with water. Draw out and bear to the governor. It was for God's glory. It was for their good. But it was for the benefit of everybody at the feast. Sowing in the morning, sowing in the evening, sowing in the new time. What are they doing? Doing what God said to him.
Right.
He's glorified. I am blessed.
Yes, sir.
And everybody in the building benefited.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. Lakin said, when Brother Cook gets filled to the overflow, Brother Saucer gets blessed too. And when you determine in your heart to do what he said, everybody at the feast, everybody down at the church gets blessed. And there's a hallelujah time. So why? Somebody got born again. Somebody got help. Some family got put back together. And all of God's children said, blessed be the name of God. And there's a revival that breaks out. Because they simply did what God said. You can never go wrong by listening to the Lord. But you must do what he says. And so everyone at the feast benefited from the miracle that resulted when the Lord speaks to us. It is not only for God's glory, for our good, but for the benefit of everybody else. The benefit down at the office, benefit at your home, benefit down at the church. We're just doing what God said to do. It is refreshing, Brother Pastor, to see folk, when they get saved, begin to want to do, just to do something.
Oh, yeah.
I've noticed, I've observed the workers as they vacuum the carpet and they're doing what God said to do.
Amen.
And they're blessed because of what they did.
Right.
And then everybody else comes in and sits down in a nice, clean auditorium.
Right.
Are y'all getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
it's a matter of listening to God and doing what he said
Amen.
To you. I want to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.
Amen.
I want God to speak to my heart.
Right.
And he does speak to us. Now, I'll close with these little thoughts. I think I'll close. So we've considered the fact that God does speak to us today. And when God does speak to us, and we give him obedience, he's glorified.
Amen.
And I'm blessed. And others benefit.
Yep.
So considering all that, then how should we respond to what God says? Could I say we should respond with prompt obedience?
Amen.
They did not delay. John Bunyan said the soul of religion is in the practice part, that is, the doing of it.
Amen.
Our whole duty is to do what he says, and to do it not as a duty, but to do it as a delight.
Amen.
And so somebody said, I'd hate to think I said bad, I had to go to church all the time. I want to say, my younger brother said, when are you going to quit running up and down the road and start enjoying life, spend time with the grandkids and all that? I said, dear, but I want you to understand, I'm not doing what I have to do. I'm doing what I want to do.
Amen.
And God put the want to there.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you what, Brother Hall, when somebody gets help, somebody gets blessed, I give the glory to God, but I'm thrilled in my soul that God let me be a water boy to pour in the water. And so we should give prompt obedience, but we should give complete obedience. They were to fill the water pots up to the brim. I heard Dr. James Crumpton speak about being filled with the Spirit. Dr. Crumpton liked Coca-Colas, and he liked it with the little chips of ice in it. And he said, if I were to have a glass of Coca-Cola filled up right up to the tippy top, he'd say, and you jostle me, guess what would come out? And everybody said, Coca-Cola. And he said, if you're filled with the Spirit of the living God, and when somebody jostles you, it won't be profanity that comes out. It'll be for the glory of the Lord Jesus.
That's good.
Could I say this? Being filled with the Spirit of God, listen, you take on the character of God.
Amen.
I've heard folks preach about being filled with the Spirit of God. They're mean as junkyard dogs, yep, use profanity in the pulpit, and God the Holy Ghost not in 1,000 miles of that. I'm trying to say he's worthy of our complete and full obedience.
Amen.
The songwriter said, by and by, when I look on his face, and in the song, it says, I'll wish I had given him more, yeah, more, so much more. By and by, when he holds out his hands, I'll wish I had given him more. So God's not going to hold me accountable for what I did, just what I did. He will hold me accountable for what I did, but he's going to hold me accountable for what I could have done.
Yes, sir.
We should respond with unquestioned obedience. The word is whatsoever. That means we must obey without questioning and without dispute. Think of being told to fill the water pots with water when wine was what they needed. And think of also being told to bear it to the governor of the feast. Yet they gave to the Lord their unquestioning obedience.
Amen.
I'm thankful for you preachers that have done what God told you to do and preaching to my heart in these days.
Amen.
I'm grateful for the kindness of this church and for your hospitality and the way you've provided for us. And could I tell you, it does not go unnoticed.
That's right.
If you've done what you did in obedience to the Lord, he is glorified. We are blessed, and others benefit.
Amen.